When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record not so daily, sharing a few thoughts from the mind of a cartoonist. And what am I thinking about today? It'll surprise you, I'm sure. No, maybe not. I'm going to respond to something another art podcaster had to say. And in this case, this isn't about starting up any kind of flame war. In this particular case, I was asked to respond to something that this podcaster had to say. I'm talking about Chris Oatley of ChrisOatley.com. His latest episode, episode 47, Fairy Defense, Working Out in the Earthworm Gym, and the Question of Direction. Chris actually mentions me and the other art and story guys by name as he delineates something he's been struggling with. And he messaged me and said, you know, I'd really like to hear your thoughts on this. So I thought rather than spend a lot of time typing an email, because I am a very slow and ponderous typist, I think I can type pretty fast. I think I can do like 75 words a minute. But in terms of getting my thoughts all organized in type, it always takes a much longer time than it does to fire off a quick audio version of my essay. It's one of the reasons I like doing Thunder Punch Daily so much. And also, I think this would be good content for the art and storyers in general, because I think he raises a really interesting question. So this will be in another bit of a philosophical one, but I think this is going to tie in directly to project management. Not time management per se, although that figures in. I'm talking about managing projects and managing your creativity. Because one of the things that happens as you do this stuff more and more, after you've, you know, finished a few projects, finished a few mini comics, you're going to find that you begin to unlock your creativity, unlock it in a way where it just becomes a natural way of thinking for you. It's, you don't struggle with it as much anymore. And you find the truth of the notion that ideas are a dime a dozen. Anybody who's been making comics or any kind of visual storytelling medium will tell you that ideas are a dime a dozen, and the trick is figuring out which ideas you want to take on, which ones have the most juice in them, and how best to explore that idea. The execution, I've talked about this before on Thunder Punch Daily and on Art and Story, execution is way more important than the idea itself. But the problem is the blessing and the curse of unbridled creativity, is that we've just become so excited and so optimistic about all these wonderful things that we want to accomplish in our lifetime that we can easily take on too much. I am one of the, you know, America's most wanted when it comes to that. I've made this mistake time and time again, taking on way too many things, because everything becomes such an exciting prospect and you see the potential of so many different ideas, so many different projects. And to address what Chris was talking about, Chris was talking about this very thing, is when he was talking to Doug Tenapel of the creator of Earthworm Jim, Doug said to him, just pick one and just see it through. And after you see through a couple projects, you're going to find that you have a body of work. And doing a little bit here and a little bit there is actually, now I'm not quoting Ted directly, Doug directly, I'm expanding on this thought, is that taking on a little bit here, a little bit there, will inevitably slow you down in the long run. And it can become a much more frustrating experience in the long term, because you're not seeing any, we have to acknowledge the fact that part of what keeps us going in this cycle of creativity is having an end product to show for all of our time and effort. And if you are only putting in 5 minutes a day here, 5 minutes a day there on 10 different projects, they are going to come to fruition that much more slowly. And we have to understand and accept the fact that our psychology, our psychological health as a creator, depends to a large extent on having the finality, the closure on the finished product. Lots of people will tell you this. Closure is extremely important in life in general. That's why we have rituals like funerals. That's why we have rituals like graduation. We need an acknowledgement that this rite of passage has been achieved, that the time has now passed, and we're moving on to the next thing. The same holds true in making visual stories. So before I get into strategies to, you know, monitor and make sure you're not taking on too much, let's explore some of the psychology of what's going on in our minds when we start getting this unbridled creativity takes over and we get really excited about it. Now, first of all, this is something that I think we should be happy about and we should be, to a degree, proud of, is that we've gotten to a comfort level in the creative arts that we see potentials in things. We see that there's no such thing as a bad idea, and we see what we could do with that idea. That is itself an achievement as a creator. And what's more is keeping a lot of irons in the fire. This is something Mark and I and Kevin as well, we've talked about in Art and Story, as being sometimes a good thing to do. Because if you've got a lot of little projects out there, you have more potential for one of these projects to catch on. However, you can overdo it. And in order to understand how to see when you're overdoing it, we need to really dig into what is the reasoning behind keeping so many irons in the fire. It's not just the potential. I mean, one of the things we should check in ourselves is whether we're doing it for the potential of the idea to catch on, and then we can run with it once we have some financial backing or we have some interest from an audience so we can really see this thing through and know that it will support us somehow. Or is it this? This is a question that we need to ask ourselves honestly. And I ask myself this, or I'm beginning to ask myself this in a very, very rigid or ruthless way. Is, am I putting a lot of irons in the fire, meaning doing a lot of little projects and putting in a limited amount of time on all of them? Is it because I don't have faith in my own work or in the projects themselves? Because if I had faith in them, if I really believed in them, then wouldn't I put everything I got into them? I think back to when I was working on The Front. I know I talk about The Front a lot, but hey, come on, it was a very, very powerful 5 years of my life, and it really changed and helped me grow as a storyteller. So I'm, you know, of course, there's a lot to be looked at in that time of my life to figure out, you know, to relate to this creative process and creative growth for other artists out there. I put everything I had into that. I set aside everything else. I told Antarctic Press and other companies I was working for that I couldn't do anything for the next couple of years, that I was taking time off from freelancing and comics to put everything I had into The Front. Why? Because first of all, because it was a very personal project and I really wanted to see this thing done. I wanted to actually see this thing in print someday. But also it was because I really believed that it was a good story, whether or not anybody else did. I believed it was a good story, and that is one of the reasons that kept me going. We talked about this a couple of Thunder Punches ago, where I was talking about the notion of explaining the story to somebody and having that sense of, and it's going to be awesome at the end of your pitch, right? That was there. There was a faith, a commitment, a sort of a monogamy of sorts. Now, I did do other projects at the time while I was working on The Front, but it was when I was fairly well into doing the story. I had a momentum going with The Front, and I had a routine that I knew I could keep and still take on a couple little things on the side, and that's when I started working on The Replacements with Sarah Turner. But nothing ever got in the way of me putting in the maximum amount of time on to working on The Front. And I can understand how someone might think, well, gee, that's a long time to put into something that you don't know if it's going to pay off or not. True. But that's where faith and that's where commitment comes in. This is not unlike a marriage. Speaking as a married guy, what guarantees do you have when you get married to somebody that you're not going to fight all the time and that it's not going to be rough and they're not going to get sick sometimes and you're going to have to take a lot of, or you're going to have to like put aside things that you want to do in order to make time for your family? This is the commitment that we make, and the commitment results in a lot of really good things and sometimes a lot of really frustrating things. But that's the bag. That's the deal that you get, and we all know it when we go into it, which is one of the reasons why marriage traditionally is a pretty solemn event, right? And I think a certain solemnity needs to be observed when, man, I'm talking about ritual and rites today a lot, but I do think that there's some kind of solemnity needs to be observed when you are approaching a project like this, and you should have a certain degree of commitment to it. knowing that it's going to be tough, and maybe you are missing out on opportunities. Maybe there are going to be some other cute girls that I'm going to meet 5 years into my marriage that, you know, I wouldn't mind spending a little bit of time with, but I've made the commitment. I'm not going to now. I'm with this one. And I think that that is important to observe when you're approaching your graphic, a project of any kind, is that I once heard somebody say, it was a marketing person or something, they were talking about managing an independent business. They said, whenever you take on any new project, no matter how small, you have to approach it as this is going to be another job that you have to maintain. When we started up Art and Story Supreme, with these microcasts, this is another job I was ready to take on. And I knew it. I knew that I was at least committed to 2 thunder punches a week. Come hell or high water, I got to make it happen. No matter how I'm feeling that morning, I got to make it happen. And this comes back to that idea of, yeah, it's not always going to be necessarily the thing you want to do that morning, but the end result, and this is where we start looking at the long term. Being committed to a project, any kind of project, even something short, 75 pages long, that's still going to take a lot of your time. And yes, there's going to be opportunities for other projects. Your creativity is firing on all cylinders. And yes, write all that stuff down in a notebook. Hang on to all those ideas because they're all probably pretty good and you can probably get a lot of mileage out of them. But you are currently committed to this one thing and giving it everything you've got with the understanding that more opportunities will result out of this thing being finished. Let's just look at the worst case scenario. You put 2 years of your life into a graphic novel and nobody cares. Nobody buys it. You know, it's only recently that the front has started to sell okay. People are beginning to buy it on a semi-regular basis, but there was a couple years in between where it was like one sale every 6 months. You know, nobody knew about it. Nobody cared. But I finished it with the understanding that it's a good story. I don't regret 1 minute of time that I put into that thing. A, because I learned a lot about myself as a storyteller. I learned about learned a lot about storytelling in general. And now I have this finished thing that is timeless. I can talk about it and promote it for the rest of my life. So yeah, you may be missing out on opportunities in the meantime while you're putting all your time into this thing, but you got to look at that long term of how evergreen this thing is going to be. And once that thing is done, you can move on to the next big project. And you to refer to what Doug Tenapel was saying to Chris Oatley in that episode of Chris Oatley's podcast, is you'll begin to amass a body of work. And that's the only way you amass a body of work, is not by just puttering around a little bit here, a little bit there, is by making a full commitment to at least one thing or a couple things if you can. But at least that one big thing, with the understanding that there's going to be opportunities that open up once this thing is done, just by virtue of its existence and you being able to put that in front of people. So I guess them's my thoughts today on that, is that yeah, the thing we got to watch out for. Yeah, I guess this is where I get to, like, how do we keep track of it? How do we make sure that we're not taking on too much? Well, a good barometer of that is how burnt out you feel on any given day. And I'm talking burnout, not being tired. Like, there's being tired in a good way, like, oh my gosh, I got so much done today and I am beat. That's the good kind of exhaustion that occurs after working really hard. But then there's burnout. Burnout is when you have a couple days in a row where you just, it's not that you don't want to do it. You know you want to do it, but you can't, you don't know where to start. Where do I start today? What am I going to take on first? You're looking at 5 different projects on your desk that need to be done. And maybe some of them are paying gigs, hopefully. And you're just like, oh God, I just can't even summon the strength to sit down at that desk. That's burnout. And when if you're experiencing that, then it's time to start shaving things off. This is what I recently went through when I started hitting the middle point of the year. I was looking at the art desk and looking at my to-do list and realizing, oh geez, you know, I'm going to go sit down for a half hour because this is overwhelming. But how do you make sure that you don't get to that point? That's what I'm struggling with now. And one of the strategies that I've decided to employ in my life, and this ties in very, very neatly with what Chris Oatley was talking about, is really try to identify what the narrative of the next year or two of your life, what you want that narrative to be. And accept the fact that it's going to take a couple of years to see that narrative through. But the only way that that narrative will come to be is through a limited number of projects. Keep it slim. If you've only got 2 hours a week to work on something, then give that two hours wholly to one thing. Now, I know in the past I've talked about just do it, just dive in. And if the project isn't going where you want it to go and you can't figure out where you want it to go, dump it. That's fine. Put it aside, put it in a folder, and maybe you'll get back to that later. What I'm really addressing here is once you're in that rhythm, once you've got a story that you're really excited about and you start unlocking that creativity. Mark has reported on this in some past Art and Stories, is when he got laid off from his day job and decided to take the plunge to be a freelance illustrator or professional illustrator, whatever you want to call it. He noticed that his creativity was just, he couldn't control it anymore. It was too much. There was just too many ideas, and suddenly he had 20 projects he wanted to do. Whereas 2 years before, when he was doing the daily grind, it was a lot tougher to get into that intellectual zone. So the danger is once you're in a creative field and you're thinking about it all the time, you're going to find that there's just the floodgates open, and you just try to stop your, it's like trying to stop a 10-year-old from drawing. You just can't do it. So at that point, it's just, if an idea occurs to you and you're really excited about it, write it down in a book. If you're still excited about it after 3 days, then maybe you could do something with it. But give yourself time to cool down and mellow out and really be ruthless about evaluating how much time this thing is going to take. And if it's going to cut into whatever you're currently working on, set it aside until you can clear up more time then. So that's time management kind of junk. But unfortunately, I don't have any life experience that I can relate to preventing this from happening, because I've fallen into the same trap again and again and again, where I take on so much because everything is so exciting and I want to do all these great things creatively and also as an advocate for my craft, that I find myself in a corner once again going, oh my God, I got 12 things I got to do today. So it's something that, I guess, to quote Sergeant Slaughter, the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. So we must always be vigilant of the use of our time. And we always have to understand and acknowledge that life gets in the way. It always does. No matter how balanced and under control your life seems, something always, always happens. I'm not that old yet, but I've noticed that whenever I think things are finally mellowed out and under control, some other catastrophe happens, even the minor catastrophes that will just chew through a whole day of my time. And then I'm playing catch up ever after. And that's no fun. So this stuff only really works when we're operating out of a sense of sincerity and fun about doing it. And I'm not saying that the work is always fun. I'm just saying that in a general sense, it should always be fun for you. And that's what's going to keep you at the desk. That's what's going to get projects done. And that's what's going to help you build a body of work that you can be proud of and that you can show to people in order to have more opportunities as a professional illustrator down the road. Okay, so who am I? I'm Jersey Droz, jdroz.com, Jersey on the Twitters. Thank you very much for supporting this project. We couldn't do it without you. I say it time and time again, it bears repeating. You guys have shown us that this content has value, and that means the world to us. And your support provides us with the time to be able to do this stuff. I get to put aside paying work in order to do Thunder Punch Daily, which is a dream come true for me. So thank you guys from the bottom of my heart for that. And don't forget to check out the forums. There's some really cool stuff going on in the forums. There is the Art and Story Supreme Challenge that has been spearheaded by Bob Learned and Dave Anderson and Roger Langridge. Some cool art sort of studies, taking a simple concept and trying to create some art out of it. Really interesting stuff going on there, and I mean to participate in that soon. Also, Jonathan Demophon on the Twitters, he posted a zine challenge in the forums, and they're stickied at the top, these two posts I'm talking about. And he put up a video showing how to make a mini comic without any binding whatsoever. Just take a simple sheet of paper and fold it in a certain way and tear it a certain way, and suddenly you've got a mini comic ready to be made. And he and the other art and storyers, particularly Renee Van Beltzen, have been in there just tearing the joint up with really amazing, quick one-off 8-page minis. Really cool stuff worth checking out and worth participating in. So I invite you guys, if you haven't been to the forum in a while, go check it out. Neat stuff going on there. So, okay, until next time, I have been Jersey Drozd, and I'll be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. Until then, remember, everybody.
Today we saw people fighting over the Star Child, but in the end, her power brought these people together. It might surprise you to know that all of us have a power like the Star Child's. You can't see it or touch it, but you can feel it. It's called love. When you care deeply about others, when you're kind and gentle, then you're using the power. And that's very special magic indeed. Until later, goodbye for now.